Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Break Room. The Break Room is a podcast by a Black mental health professional and a Black mental health researcher with the mission to remind you that you matter, you're valuable, and your wellness and joy are a priority for liberation. My name is Dr. Jide Bamashigban. I'm a health psychologist based in Southern California. I do health equity work as well. I am a father of two wonderful boys and my beautiful wife. I'll kick it over to you, Dr. Nikki.
Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Nikki. I am a licensed psychologist, and I'm also CyPAC credentialed, which means that I could do telehealth in about 33 states, which is pretty awesome. And I have a private practice that focuses on Black folks' relational and sexual wellness, as well as racial equity consultation and training and Black mental wellness in the workplace. And I am ready to have a conversation. I want to just preface and say, I think today's conversation may feel a little heavy, and that's okay. We can do that sometimes, but we want to, we always want to be congruent and genuine here at the Break Room, mm-hmm. and we want to talk about some stuff that just it ain't good. It don't feel good. So we're gonna get into that today.
Yeah. So if you're new to the Break Room, here's what we usually do. We start off with a little tea, you know, sitting in the break room, sipping some tea. We'll talk about something that's going on. And then we'll talk about our topic for the day. And then usually one of us will get to our last nerve, the thing that's getting on our last nerve. Okay. So our tea for today is going to be related to a tea we had before. So we were telling you that Black Panther 2 or Black Panther Wakanda Forever was coming out, and go watch it. And both Dr. Nikki and I both watched it. And to be frank, I cried the entire movie.
Yes.
Okay. Like, literally, I can't express how much that I'm not joking when I mean literally from the first scene until the last scene.
Yeah.
And tears streamed down my face.
Different types of cries, right? Like wasn't, it was like layers to the cries. And yes. It's so interesting because, I have a rebellious spirit, right? And so I didn't go, I had plans and stuff for the weekend that it first came out. And so I was hearing a lot of things, like people were saying, I cried, it was so good, and I was like, it ain't gonna be that good. I ain't gonna get in there and cry. I'm whatever, I'ma see. Again, first scene, I was like, oh, like it wasn't even like literally the tears just sprung out my eyes. Like I couldn't even catch up with it. I have lots of thoughts about it, but I think it's because it's a story about a lot of things, but grief. And I think grief is such a universal experience, and it is one of the more complicated experiences we have as humans that for me, it always feels like it's like a nerve that's so very easily tapped into, right? Because if you have lived and loved and lost someone, you know what that feels like. I don't know Chadwick Boseman. I never met him, but the man is a legacy, right? And so it was like, for me, it was like a surreal experience of like feeling like I was grieving someone that I never actually met. But also like, just re-experiencing my own experiences with grief. And then for me, it was also like the love and care that the story was told. Like at the end of the day, this is a big budget Hollywood film, right? And the goal is to make money, but that there was so much care and love demonstrated in the storytelling that I thought was really touching. Like this man made a real indelible mark on these people and our collective culture. And then I had tears of celebration and joy and like, just like Black girl magic on the screen. And then, the tears at the end, we won't give away the spoiler if you haven't seen it, but the ending just might as well kick you in the chest. It was so good, and it's a good story. Like, the plot is good, the characters are rich. Like, it's just all.
It was a good movie. It was simply a great movie. You know, and it ended up itself. It was just a good movie.
Yeah. So if you have not gone to see it, go see it. There's a lot of layers to it. It took me a while to sort of unpack and process. I've been sort of doing it over the course of the past like week or so with other friends. And what about this part? And when she said that, like, so, you don't often get to experience, entertainment that does that. So, and you know, I love that the black Marvel movie has that sort of impact. So Black Panther.
Shout out to Ryan Coogler. He did it again. He has not made a bad movie yet.
So talented.
Yeah.
So that's our tea. We want to hold on to that. But today's topic is not nearly as joyful. And we wanted to talk just about it is a form of grief, right? What we want to talk about today. And that is all of the layoffs that have been happening and are currently happening and probably will trickle through the end of the year. That would be my strong guess. And some of the more notable ones have been in one particular area, like what we would call the tech industry or UX area. And those folks have also been disproportionately Black. And when America has a cold, Black people get the flu, like yet again. Right. Here we are again.
Right. Yeah.
It's have
been very disappointing.
Yeah. So, I've never been laid off. I worked in academia, and when there are cuts in academia, it's usually staff and not faculty. Like, usually faculty are the last to go. And while I have worked in institutions that had big budget cuts and like things got really scarce, I never once felt like my job was in jeopardy. So, I can't empathize on that level, but I also have heard through either employees or through people's anecdotes as an employee that like a lot of the ways that these layoffs have been announced and been enacted have been really inhumane, just like really shitty.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think anybody wants to hear, "Oh my God, I might lose my job," from New York Times. You know what I'm saying? Or from a tweet, you know, "Oh, Amazon's going to cut 10,000 jobs today." Like, I didn't hear anything about this. Like, that's absolutely unacceptable. Yeah. And, you know, Twitter cut half its staff. I mean, Elon Musk, one of the worst people on earth, but, you know, Twitter cut half its staff. Meta cut 11,000 people. Amazon, all the big tech companies are, you know, losing jobs, right? And one thing that's important, a lot of these people live in California. Right. They live in California. A lot of these people move to the Bay with the expectation that, okay, I'm gonna have this salary to support myself. Right. And now you got 3 months to figure it out, you know,
and if there's,
and that's one, scary, and I feel it's unfair.
Yeah. If there's one state in the union that you don't want to be jobless and broke in, it's California. Like, I say all the time, I don't know how y'all live out there. Like, how do y'all do it? It's overwhelmingly expensive to live out there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's the both and, right? The like not knowing if you're going to be included in that number, and then finding out in what I think is such a callous manner, right? And so we could say, yes, from a logistics perspective, if you're laying off 11,000 people, it can't be personal, right? It just has to be done sort of efficiently. But I think the thing that capitalism gets wrong the most is just disregarding the workers as humans, right? Like, I'm just considering them as objects. And so whenever you say these numbers out loud, 10,000, 11,000, hell, even 4,500, Those are people that are connected to partners or children or caregivers, or just starting their lives out. And like, these are people who have rent to pay, mortgage to pay. Like, where's the money going to come from? And then benefits. Like, we live in a country where if you don't have private insurance, shit gets real sketchy for you real soon, right? So there's so many layers attached to the just devastation. Like, it's a, like, it feels devastating. And I haven't seen, at least on the national level, a lot of people really talking about the human toll. Like, I can hear us talking about the economic impact, and really the focus,
the impact on the companies,
in my opinion. Yes, it's on the villain. Like, let's talk about the
victims. How is this going to affect Twitter? How is this going to affect Meta? How is this going to affect Amazon? No, how is this going to affect these tens of thousands of people, right, who need to support their families, who need to support themselves, right? Who, some of them, their identities are wrapped up in their jobs. Some of them like going to work, right? They enjoy doing, you know, not everybody, but some people enjoy doing this, right? And just to be taken away, because a lot of these leaders, they said themselves, it's our bad, because we grew these companies too fast during the pandemic, because we thought that this is going to last forever, and it didn't, right? So, oops, my bad, but you still have your billions, right?
And so let's talk about the villains, right? Because I consider all of these billionaire, multinational companies the villain, because at the end of the day, your choice to let go of human capital is a choice, right? Like, there are other ways to reallocate the money attached to these companies, but you choose to just stop paying people. Like that's the lowest hanging fruit, and you choose to do that. I remember during the pandemic, when everything was like, whoa, what is happening, right? The first year. And there were a couple companies that were exemplary in continuing to employ their employees because they recognize that these are real human beings. And that lets me know there is a way for you to restructure your budgets, your company. You might not be able to save everybody, but 11,000
people? 13,000
people. 13,000 people just gone, right? And then on the other side,
they work in the.
Go ahead.
No. And then they work in the tech sector, and all the big tech companies are doing the layoffs, right? So if it was just one of them, okay, that's fine. I'll just go to Netflix. I'll just go to Apple. I'll just go to whatever. But if they're all doing it, right?
Where are you gonna go?
Where are you gonna go?
And that is the other piece. I think about the market competition. You have a very particular set of skills. I feel like Liam Neeson. I have a bad with a very particular set of skills. But, you've developed your expertise, your skills, your talents in the area, and now that whole sector is struggling. Nobody's hiring and won't be.
Oh, wow.
Not at all before the end of this quarter, and maybe not even before the end of Q1 of 2023. Like, because at the end of the day, we know that gross profit is the most important part for these companies. And it's just really, really frustrating for me. Because, like, how did we get here? How did we get here is the question.
We got addicted to social media, as a world, for people in the world, many people just got addicted to social media, and these billionaires have the power of nation states. You know what I'm saying? Like, Mark Zuckerberg has, 2 billion people who use his platform. You know what I'm saying? There's, what are you supposed to do? Right? Like, that's a lot of people for one platform and all this power. So we've given these people all this power, right? Mm-hmm. And they don't use it appropriately. They don't. They simply don't. They just use it to enrich themselves and do their own thing that they're interested in. Oh, I want to go to space. Really? Right? Like, there's issues we have.
They call that food Elon Musk Space Karen, and that
perfect.
That is the moniker of moniker.
Chef's kiss.
Oh my God, that's perfection.
And he's the worst of the worst.
Yeah, I might agree. I was gonna say they're all different shades of horrible, but he does sit in a special little category all of his own. I will say that.
His history as the child of somebody who owned a mine in Africa, I think, gives him like a different kind of he tries to treat people like a slave driver, really.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's so gross. It's so gross. So, you know, people who have been put in these positions. Another thing that we can say, you know, this is the crazy part about capitalism, right? This is the catch-22. We all need it, and it's killing all of us, like, different ways, right? I know for a fact that while gas prices went down, everything else went up, right? We know the cost of housing, even when you are employed, is in most of our major urban centers is exorbitant, well outside of the range of what would make sense for a person to be able to pay to begin with. And there's no relenting that's been happening on that. We know that buying cars, like used cars, are running around 20 grand these days. Like I got this 2010 Honda Accord. I'll sell it to you for $35,000, right? Like, and then our staples, right? Like the going to the grocery store. Why is this loaf of bread damn near $5? Like all the things cost more, just the basic things that we need. And lastly, we are coming into the holiday season, and the vast majority of folks in this country celebrate something during this time of the year, whether it be Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa, something that requires hosting, merriment, extra food, big meals, gifts. Like it's a time of the year where you're putting out more money to begin with. And so now you have people sliding into this part of the year with the rug ripped from under them. And I know folks that have been on maternity leave that got laid off, or folks that are about to go on FMLA and get laid off. Like there's been just utter devastation wreaked on people's lives so that Mark Zuckerberg can keep more money in his pocket and Elon Musk can keep more. Because at the end of the day, isn't that like simply what it is? Like you just want to have, you don't want to not make as much.
Mm-hmm. And the boards, I'll say that. And the boards, the directors of these companies too are like, correct. You know, everybody else is going to struggle financially.
Yes,
right? Yes. But we are not going to struggle financially. Under no circumstances is the board of directors of any of these companies going to lose a red cent.
It's such a different universe. Like, it's a different universe of reality that I could never wrap my brain around. Mm-hmm. So I imagine people are feeling depressed, anxious, disillusioned, stressed at a minimum, angry, and maybe even grieving, right? You mentioned before. People's identities, the way capitalism has us all fucked up, it's like we get really tied into what we do. And so not only do we get tied into what we do, but it gives us structure. It's ways that we sort of engage socially, like it's how we spend the majority of our time. And then you have all of that taken away from you. And the other thing that I think is notable is that, you know, during the early parts of the pandemic, we really were, as corny as these words are about to come out of our mouth, we really were all in this together, right? Like everybody was equally confused about what this thing was. Everybody was shut down. We were all in the house. Like but this, I imagine, is more stressful in that the world is revolving, right? Like nobody's really even talking a lot about this if you're not directly impacted, right? And so the world is sort of chugging along and you're over here like, but my whole life just got blown up. Like, what is happening?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just, you know, if you've been laid off and you're listening to this, I just want you to know that, you know, it wasn't you. It had nothing to do with you. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like Dr. Nikki said, it wasn't personal. You know, at the scale of people, you know, it can't be personal, right? Mm-hmm. But that doesn't change anything, you know, and whatever feelings you're feeling, whether that's anger, sadness, that anxiety about the future or fear, they're all perfectly valid in this type of situation. Oh, like Dr. Nikki, I've never been laid off, so I can't say that I've ever been in this situation, but, you know, I do know what it's like to wonder where your next check's going to come from, right? Mm-hmm. And how are you going to support your family, right? How are you going to support yourself? Can you pay your rent? You know, can you pay for childcare for your kids? You know, I know.
Yeah. Yeah, the stress of trying to look at the budget and figure out what can actually go, and how to sort of live with less, right? Which, you know, intellectually you can, but the feeling of like, but why do I have to? Right. Yeah, and then not knowing what is coming up on the horizon, like what can you pivot to, what else you can do. I'm sure adds to the layer of devastation.
Allegedly, from economists, people think we're going to be entering a recession, right? And
baby, I don't, entering if we're a not recession, in one you don't now, know like, right? But also, it feels recession-like now. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not an economist. Finances on that level escape me. That's not my expertise, and I'm quite happy with that. But so I don't know what the sort of static parameters are, or like variables that define whether we're in a recession or not. But the reality is, it doesn't matter, because it's about how people feel, how it's impacted your everyday life, and right. Whether you say it's inflation now or a recession in January, it doesn't change the fact that people are making hard choices about how to just live day in and day out that they did not have to make 6 months ago, right? So you can call it what you want to. So if you're impacted by this, or anxious that you might be impacted by this, here's the thing, you know, I'm a therapist. I see clients as the lion's share of what I do in my profession day in and day out. And I want to acknowledge, like, what I would consider this is crisis, right? This is an acute, meaning something beyond your control that has significantly impacted you in a temporary way, but that there's an intensity attached to that temporary status. And so when I work with clients that are in crisis, and as a reminder, I am a therapist, but I'm not your therapist. But when clients are in crisis, or when there's something like really acute happening, it's when I always encourage them to like triple down on basics of mental health hygiene. And these are the things like getting sleep, getting rest.
Have to sleep.
You have to get the sleep. And if the anxiety is keeping you up, or your level of stress doesn't allow that, right? Consider some homeopathic ways to sort of calm down your nervous system. Actually, ashwagandha is a supplement that has been, yeah. Talk to a psychiatrist, or your medical doctor, right? Mm-hmm. There's a variety of ways to help. So what I always tell people also is like, what you have to do to take care of yourself in a crisis, the rules are different than how you would take care of yourself outside of that, right? And so if you're resistant to drugs, or feel like you don't need other things as handicaps, I want you to give yourself permission to be able to do some things to help keep you grounded and as healthy as possible. So sleep, the hydration. Dr. Jide and I both have children at home this week, so y'all just go get the whole family experience. If y'all don't hear these little girls back here acting a fool, it's a testament to it's a testament to these headphones I have in. So, you know, sleep is critical. Hydration is critical. I'm going to also encourage you to think about a meditation practice and movement. It does not have to be exercise. Some people find exercise to be a great stress reliever, but being able to get outside, which is even more difficult. That's the other thing, G-Day. Let's just, as a sidestep, talk about the timing of these layoffs, like where there's less sun, which already impacts people's mental health.
Right.
California, you're probably not as burdened by that, but it is still dark by like 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So, but take advantage of, it's like, why is it so blackout? Mm-hmm. But get out of the house, get some vitamin D, just move.
Lean on your social support system.
Lean on your social support system. Really what I'm saying to you is you have to trick your body into helping you help itself so that you can get through this time period. So one, we want to normalize like all of these feelings that you are experiencing are completely acceptable and they're yours and they're valid. And two, don't let those feelings become more of your worldview in the short term than is necessary, meaning keep them in balance. Look for small moments of joy. Lean into your gratitude. And lean into your social support system to help carry you along the way until you can get back to a place where you feel more solid and stable and you can do it for yourself.
I think that's a great, great place to end us off. And we're wishing y'all the best. Okay.
We are thinking of you for sure. I'm going to take this last nerve. So on Saturday night, there was another nightclub shooting, another mass shooting in America, just another Saturday in America. There was another mass shooting on Saturday night at Club Q in Colorado Springs, and five patrons were killed and 18 other people were injured. 25 have been injured. And part of my last nerve is the fact that all of this the rhetoric around and the brave people in the club, they were courageous, heroic people, actually stopped them. Like people trying to survive. So let's not glorify the fact that people took physical means to sort of stop this man from killing more people, right? Yes, we're grateful for them being there, but there should not be a need to laud and celebrate people for having to do things to survive in situations like that. One, I'm so beyond sick and tired of our habituation to violence. Because we have no other choice, right? Because the vast majority of Americans across racial ethnic lines, social economic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, religion, political affiliation want weapons of mass destruction taken off the streets, right? We want these high-powered rifles, things that were never meant to be used in the way that they're being used. We don't want them. We want more regulation. We want people to be able to have to wait to get guns. We want people to have to go to certain places only to get guns. We want people to have to pass background checks to get guns. We want people to be flagged and lose their ability to carry a weapon. We want less access to weapons that can cause this kind of harm. And yet there are a handful of people that are in power politically that prevent us from having that will be legislated, right? And so we have no choice but to live in a constant state of threat. The reality is there has been no place in American social life that has not been tainted by mass shootings. Churches, malls, grocery stores, clubs, concerts, festivals, schools. There's no place that you can go and be guaranteed to be safe. The anger that that breeds in me as an individual, but particularly as a mother, is really incalculable. It is so difficult for me to consistently find the line between informing my 11-year-old about what she needs to know to keep her safe and not completely causing her to have her mental health and sense of safety disrupted. And I don't know that I get the balance right all the time, but the fact that I even have to contend with that is ridiculous. And then I want to be clear and say that the attack on queer communities is intentional, just as much as the attack on Black folks over the centuries of this country has been intentional. It is about power. It is about the ability to determine reality for other folks. It is about the privilege to be able to live life in a worldview that you believe is right and justified and nothing else. I think there's this, I think it's an Aboriginal sort of saying that I'm going to get out, or maybe it comes out of the Holocaust. I can't remember, but there's this saying about, they're going to come for you too. Right. So, you know, as Black folks and Brown folks, we know the experience of systemic racism. We know the experience of, violence as a tool of oppression as being regular parts of our lives. And so and queer communities know that as well. And we're seeing all of this rhetoric, all of this anti-trans legislation, all of this attack on same-sex marriages, all of the escalation around toxic masculinity and all of the escalation around women being submissive. It is all tied in together. And the nexus of it all is power as deemed by cis, heterosexual, patriarchal white men. Point blank, period. And the fucked up part is when you have a people, electorate, that are uninformed, that are ignorant, that are small minded, they can easily be corrupted by the rhetoric of those people. And we see it playing out. And so because of that, 5 people have lost their lives. Those are 5 families that have been irrevocably damaged and changed. And I want to be, you know, I made a post, on my social media on Sunday to say, like, I wish I felt like this was rock bottom. I don't know that we even have a bottom anymore. And so
there's no bottom.
I don't think there's a bottom. And I think part of what pisses me off, and part of what my last nerve is, like, how do you live in a death fall? Like when all of society feels like a death fall, how do you keep going with compassion, with hope, with optimism, with your mental wellness intact? And I will say it is a challenge. It is intentional and it requires effort. So our condolences to anyone who was directly impacted by the shooting, but also anyone in the queer community who feels particularly vulnerable and at threat and under attack. We see you and we understand, we empathize, and we're gonna just all keep trying to do our part to fight back the darkness as much as possible. That's it. That's all I got.
Thank y'all. You know, so not every episode is going to end on a happy note, but, you know, this is where we are. We always want to be real with you and address things that are happening. So from the break room, signing off and wishing you the best and safety, you know, as we move forward to the new year. All right. Bye, everybody.
Peace, y'all.